Chapter 16, Other Types of the Messiah. In our last chapter, we made a brief reference to some of the personal types of Christ as found in the Old Testament scriptures, and now we want to notice some other types and shadows of him which were given to the Old Testament saints, and to show how these have received their fulfillment in the coming of the Messiah and the great work which he has accomplished. In the first place, there was the Sabbath. When the 6 days' work of creation were finished, God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Thus, every seventh day was to be sanctified or set apart as a day of rest or Sabbath for the cessation of labor and the worship of God. And the necessity of observing this was enforced in the law given on Mount Sinai. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This Sabbath is a type of that rest which the true believer finds in the Lord Jesus, when he ceases from trying to establish a righteousness by his own works, and finds rest for his soul from all his labor, by believing that the sacrifice and obedience of Christ are alone sufficient to constitute him righteous in the sight of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Again, marriage is a type of that union which exists between Christ and his church. Eve was formed from a bone taken from Adam's body, so that he could say of her, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This the apostle applies to Christ and the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hence, the church is called the bride, the Lamb's wife, and the marriage is to be fully celebrated when all the church are gathered into glory. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Both of these types have existed from the beginning of creation, and will remain extant to the end of time. And the importance of keeping the sanctity both of the Sabbath and of marriage is evident, since to do otherwise would be to invade the types. But there are other types and shadows which were given to the Jews and which were designed to end when the Jewish dispensation was finished. And the antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ, had come as the fulfillment of them. Let us look a little at these. First, there was the Passover, which evidently was typical, as the apostle says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." This was celebrated on the night of their coming out of Egypt, and annually thereafter. A lamb without blemish was to be killed, and the blood sprinkled upon the two side posts and the upper doorpost of their houses, in which they were to eat the lamb, roast with fire and unleavened bread. Then the Lord said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you when I smite the land of Egypt. There were other sacrifices of lambs appointed, especially those to be offered up every morning and evening, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. Hence, when John the Baptist would direct his disciples to the Lord Jesus, he said to them, "Behold the Lamb of God." The Apostle John also, in the revelation which was given him, saw Christ in the midst of the throne of God as a lamb as it had been slain, while the angels sang, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Peter also says that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There were offerings also of goats and calves, and bullocks and fowls, all of which were typical of the offering up of Christ. The burnt offerings and peace offerings and sin offerings were to be made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, and to be a male without blemish. So Christ hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. On the annual Day of Atonement also, the people were to afflict their souls and not do any work, while the high priest made a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and took the blood with incense into the holy place before the mercy seat. So Christ has entered with his own blood into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, and the incense of his merits is offered with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar before the throne. What a wonderful type also was that of the scapegoat. Two goats were taken, and one was to be offered for a sin offering, and its blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. The other was the scapegoat, and the high priest had to lay his hands upon it and confess over it the iniquities of the children of Israel and send it away into the wilderness. Here was represented the imputation to Christ of the sins of his people, the atonement for them which he has made, and the complete putting away of all those sins. The tabernacle and the temple of the Lord, which superseded it with all that they contained, were also typical of Christ, who is the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. The candlestick represented Christ as the light of the world. The table with showbread upon it set him forth as the bread of heaven. And the altar of burnt offering signified that he was the altar as well as the great sacrifice. Then, within the veil, there was the ark covered with the mercy seat and containing the two tables of law, representing Christ, who said to his Father, "Thy law is within my heart." There was also the altar upon which the incense was burnt, and the atonement made once a year. Then there was the manna, which fell day by day from heaven around the camp of the children of Israel. This typified Christ as the bread of heaven, as he testified when here on earth. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." The children of Israel had to gather each day sufficient for the day, which represents the daily need of receiving fresh supplies of grace from Christ. Christ also was prefigured by the rock, from which the Israelites were supplied with water all through their wilderness journeys. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Moses smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and, oh, how the mercy of God gushed out from the Lord Jesus, when the Father called upon the sword of divine justice to awake and smite the shepherd. Then there was the brazen serpent. The people of Israel had murmured against the Lord, and he sent fiery serpents to bite them, so that many of the people died. The people confessed their sins and begged of the Lord to take away the serpents. But what did the Lord do? He commanded Moses to make a serpent of brass and lift it up on a pole so that the people could see it. Then, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. This was a lively type of Christ, to whom, if sinners are enabled to look by faith, they will be healed and live in God's sight. So he told the Jews, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The cities of refuge, again, were a wonderful type of Christ as the refuge of his people. Six cities were appointed to which a manslayer could flee when he had killed someone unawares. And while he abode in the city of refuge, he was safe from being put to death by the avenger of blood. So God has given strong consolation in Christ to those who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What a vast and yet varied amount of prophecy concerning the Messiah is contained in these numerous beautiful types of him, and how wonderfully they have been fulfilled in his coming and work as the surety of his people.